Section 2, Statehood. As you read, look for the efforts to establish a separate Indian state, the influences on the writing of the state constitution, when Oklahoma became a state, and vocabulary terms, Enabling Act, Progressive Movement, Referendum, Governor, Bicameral, Amendment, Initiative, Suffrage, Prohibition, Jim Crow Laws, and Charter. The call for statehood was persistent in Oklahoma Territory, and meetings on the topic were held almost every year. The population of Oklahoma Territory grew with each land opening. The estimated population in 1890 was 61,000. By 1900, the number had skyrocketed to 400,000, and by 1907, there were 722,441 residents in the Western Territory. Territorial Governor William Renfrow was one of the early advocates of a single state. Leaders of the five tribes were opposed to joining Indian Territory and Oklahoma Territory in a single state. The Indian Territory population was also growing rapidly, with 197,000 residents in 1890, 300,000 in 1900, and 691,736 in 1907. There were almost seven times as many non-citizens in Indian Territory as Indians, but they could not own land or send their children to tribal schools. The non-citizens began to demand changes in the Eastern Territory. Tribal leaders, although bitterly against the idea, could see that statehood appeared inevitable. Fearing that Oklahoma Territory would dominate Indian Territory in a single state, tribal leaders felt that their interest would best be met with two separate states. A January 1902 resolution from Oklahoma Territory requesting the admission of Oklahoma as a single state was followed by a November 1902 resolution from Indian Territory against uniting the two territories. The State of Sequoia. In 1905, leaders of the five tribes met to discuss statehood for Indian Territory. They called for a constitutional convention for the state of Sequoia to be held in August 1905 in Muskogee. Indian Territory voters selected 182 delegates to attend the convention. Pleasant Porter of the Creek Nation was elected to preside at the convention. The vice presidents elected were W.C. Rogers for the Cherokee, Green McCurtain for the Choctaw, John F. Brown for the Seminole, Charles N. Haskell for the Creek, and William H. Murray for the Chickasaw. The Creek poet and journalist Alexander Posey was elected secretary. William Wirt Hastings, a Cherokee who later represented Oklahoma in the U.S. House of Representatives, chaired the committee that drafted the Constitution for the State of Sequoia. The Constitution included a Bill of Rights and established three branches of government and a system of checks and balances. The people of Indian Territory approved the Constitution on November 7th, and it was promptly submitted to Congress. However, bills on the State of Sequoia were tabled in both the House and Senate in December 1905, while the political fight for single statehood continued. The Enabling Act. Legislation that enables something to happen or empowers a person, government agency, or other entity to do something that it could not do before is called an Enabling Act. On June 16, 1906, President Theodore Roosevelt signed an Enabling Act, also called the Hamilton Statehood Bill, that provided for joining the twin territories into the single state of Oklahoma. The bill, named for Edward L. Hamilton, chairman of the Committee on Territories for the House of Representatives, also addressed possible statehood for the territories of Arizona and New Mexico. Along with the Organic Act of 1890 and the Curtis Act of 1898, the Hamilton Statehood Bill is considered one of the three most important laws in the Oklahoma statehood process. The Enabling Act required the people to organize a republican form of government similar to that of other states. The Constitution for the new state also needed to establish religious liberty, prohibit polygamous marriages, those with more than one wife, guarantee the right to vote to all races and colors regardless of previous servitude, prohibit alcoholic liquor in Indian Territory and the Osage Nation for 21 years, and establish a system of free public schools. Guthrie was to remain the temporary capital until 1913. Before a constitutional convention could be held, 112 delegates had to be elected, 55 from each territory and 2 from the Osage Reservation, where the allotment process was still going on. Delegate districts were defined by the governor, secretary, and chief justice in Oklahoma Territory and by the Indian commissioner and 2 federal judges in Indian Territory. The election for delegates was held November 6, 1906. Women did not have the right to vote or serve as delegates, but all males over 21 who were U.S. citizens or a member of any Indian tribe in the territories and who had resided in the territories at least 6 months were eligible. Of the men elected, 12 were registered as Republicans, 1 was an independent, and 99 were Democrats. The delegates included farmers, ranchers, lawyers, merchants, ministers, doctors, bankers, journalists, teachers, and 1 college student. None of the delegates was African American. Leaders of the 2 main parties headed the Constitutional Convention. Charles N. Haskell was the leader of the Democratic majority, and Guthrie attorney Henry Asp headed the Republican minority. William H. Murray was elected president of the convention, and Pete Hanratty, a labor leader from Indian Territory, was elected vice president. Haskell was named majority leader, and Henry Johnston of Perry was Democratic caucus chairman. Royal Allen chaired the committee on county boundaries. Oklahoma Territory was already divided into county units, but Indian Territory was not. The committee divided the state into 75 counties and designated temporary county seats that could be changed by a vote of the people. Later reorganization resulted in the state having 77 counties. The convention convened on November 20, 1906, in Guthrie. Murray said, quote, "On schedule time, I went to Guthrie. There I merely visited with the delegates by approaching them in the lobby of the Royal Hotel, sometimes taking them behind the stairs. Old line politicians ask where were my headquarters. I invariably replied, under my hat." End quote. Writing the Constitution. In the early 1900s, the progressive movement spread across the country. Progressives believed that government was best equipped to correct the problems in society. This reform movement wanted to break up large corporations and regulate business, such as the railroads. Progressives wanted the people to have more say in government. They believed that U.S. senators should be elected by the people, and they thought that citizens should be able to vote on a law that affected them through referendum before that law went into effect. They also supported a graduated income tax. The progressives' ideals and their efforts to improve society were prevalent in the minds of the delegates charged with writing the Oklahoma Constitution. State government. The new Constitution set up 3 branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. It also included a system of checks and balances to prevent any one branch from becoming too powerful. Most state officials were to be elected by the people. The governor would serve as head of the executive branch, which included 12 elected officials, and be responsible for administering the state's laws. A bicameral, two-house legislature had members of the House of Representatives serving 2-year terms and members of the Senate serving terms of 4 years. The judicial branch included justices of the Supreme Court, as well as justices of the district, county, and municipal courts, and justices of the peace. The delegates intended for the legislature, serving as the voice of the people, to have the most power. Governor elections were to be held in off-presidential election years to avoid a popular president swaying the state election. The personal power of a governor was limited by allowing only 1 4-year term. The Constitution called for a Board of Health, Board of Dentistry, Board of Pharmacy, and a Pure Food Commission. A Department of Charities and Corrections was set up to deal with orphans, mental patients, and prison inmates. Citizens were empowered by having the right to subject a legislative act to a referendum. Citizens could also propose a law or constitutional amendment, an addition to a document such as a constitution, by initiative. The power of the people was further protected by the Bill of Rights. Labor Rights. Peter Hanratty served as chairman of the Labor and Arbitration Committee for the Constitutional Convention. Labor laws were written to shorten the workday to 8 hours in mines and on public works projects. Convict labor was prohibited, and children under 15 could not be employed in any hazardous occupation. Boys under 16 and females could not be employed in underground mines. The chief mine inspector was required to have 8 years of actual experience as a miner. Education. The Constitution called for free public schools that were not affiliated with any religious group. All children between 8 and 16 were required to attend school. Suffrage. The national women's suffrage movement was going strong as Oklahoma approached statehood. The issue of women's suffrage, the right to vote, was raised in 1890 with the first territorial legislature when women were given the right to vote in school matters. Peter Hanratty proposed removing the word male from the description of electors, but his proposal failed. Southern Democrats feared that allowing women to vote would result in more blacks voting. The only other people who could not vote in general elections were felons, paupers, those who are very poor, and those who were mentally incapable. Prohibition. The issue of prohibition, forbidding by law the making or selling of alcoholic beverages, was an especially sensitive one in the territories. Alcohol was legal in Oklahoma Territory and illegal in Indian Territory. Not everyone agreed with either law. Oklahoma's Anti-Saloon League was organized in Oklahoma Territory in 1899. Margaret Olive Rhodes of Guthrie organized the first Women's Christian Temperance Union, WCTU. Maude Thomas of Beaver, publisher of the Territorial Advocate, refused to print liquor advertisements and wrote numerous editorials in favor of prohibition. Carrie Nation, with her famous hatchet, led the prohibition campaign in Kansas and Oklahoma, tearing down saloons, breaking mirrors, and smashing liquor bottles. In 1905, Nations moved to Guthrie to support the prohibitionist movement and print her newspaper, The Hatchet. She was unsuccessful in her attempt to rid Tulsa of the evils of alcohol. Not everyone favored prohibition. Many settlers were immigrants from European countries where alcohol was a part of the culture. The Citizens League called for people to voluntarily choose not to drink. In light of so many opposing views, the Constitutional Convention delegates decided to submit the prohibition issue to a vote of the people. Rights for blacks. African Americans who had moved to the territories hoped to escape the discrimination found in many southern states. The South's Jim Crow laws, laws that limited the rights of black people, led thousands of blacks to seek a safer environment. Some searched for that better life in the territories. The Jim Crow influence, though, made its way into Oklahoma. Some convention delegates wanted to add segregation provisions to the Constitution, but others prevailed in tabling the matter until after statehood was achieved. Business issues. The new Constitution required that all corporations receive a charter, official permission to operate, from the state. Corporations could not influence political campaigns or own stock in competing firms, and their records were subject to state inquiry. Large businesses, railroads, trusts, and utilities were to be regulated by an elected corporation commission. Ratification. The work of the Constitutional Convention delegates lasted for several months, and the result was a document that was almost 10 times as long as the original U.S. Constitution. The state constitution was regarded by many as the most progressive of its time, and William Jennings Bryan of Nebraska called it a model for other states. Later arguments have called the Constitution too restrictive to adequately deal with new situations. The people voted on the Constitution on September 17, 1907, by a vote of 180,333 for ratification to 73,059 opposed. The new Constitution was accepted. In the same election, Democrat Charles N. Haskell was elected governor with 137,599 votes, defeating Republican Frank France and Socialist C.C. Ross. The Prohibition Amendment passed 130,361 to 112,258. Oklahomans also elected their 5 U.S. congressional representatives at the same time. Elected were Republican Bird S. McGuire of Pawnee and 4 Democrats, Scott Ferris of Lawton, James Davenport of Veneta, Charles D. Carter of Ardmore, and Elmer Fulton of Oklahoma City. Senators could not be elected until Oklahoma was officially admitted to the Union and the state legislature could meet. Statehood proclaimed. President Theodore Roosevelt signed the Statehood Proclamation on November 16, 1907, and through a direct telegraph wire from the White House, the news was received in Guthrie 2 minutes later at 9:18 a.m. Oklahoma time. The announcement was made public by Hugh Scott, private secretary to Territorial Governor France, who stood on the portico of the Carnegie Library in Guthrie and shot a pistol as a signal to several militia companies. The militia replied with volleys of blank cartridges, and celebrations instantly broke out in the city, with bands playing, bells ringing, steam whistles blowing, and guns firing. 5 minutes later, Governor Haskell took the oath of office in the governor's office at the Hotel Royal. The private ceremony would be repeated a short time later for the public. Several thousand citizens had gathered in Guthrie, filling the streets and even the trees as people clamored to view the inaugural. Shortly after noon, Charles H. Filson, territorial secretary, read President Roosevelt's Statehood Proclamation. A symbolic marriage ceremony joined Mr. Oklahoma Territory and Miss Indian Territory as the state of Oklahoma. C.G. Jones of Oklahoma City, who had tirelessly campaigned for joint statehood, represented Oklahoma Territory, and Mrs. Leo Bennett of Muskogee symbolized Indian Territory. The governor repeated the oath of office ceremony for the public. With a population of 1,414,177, more than any other territory at the time of statehood, Oklahoma joined the United States as the 46th state. Some citizens, however, did not feel jubilant. In fact, many Native Americans in the new state felt betrayed. A letter from Mary L. Herod, a Creek Indian, appeared in the Okmulgee Democrat the day before statehood. Quote, As Friday, the 15th of November, will be the last day of the Indian Territory, and after that we will be no longer a nation, some of us feel that it is a very solemn and important crisis in the history of the Indians. Now I've lived to see the last step taken, and the Indian does not count any more even in his own territory. I shall never write another letter. I cannot date my letters Indian Territory, and I shall not write. End quote. It's your turn. Number one, what is an enabling act? Number two, who was the first governor of the state of Oklahoma? The following is a summary of Chapter 12. The rapid growth of both Oklahoma Territory and Indian Territory began to affect the daily routine of life for the Indians. The Indians soon realized that statehood was inevitable. The expansion of railroads and the introduction of interurbans led to the growth of cities and towns. Agriculture began to boom with more crops being planted in a wider area. Subscription schools were established in Oklahoma Territory. They were later replaced by a system of public schools. In 1897, segregation became an issue when mixed schools for white and black children were declared unlawful. Mining for lead, zinc, gypsum, and even gold added to the growth and economy of the territories. An all-Indian statehood convention was held in Muskogee in 1905 to create the state of Sequoia, which covered the eastern half of present-day Oklahoma. The two-state movement, however, was rejected. On June 16, 1906, President Roosevelt signed the Enabling Act calling for one state. The Constitutional Convention convened on November 20, 1906, in Guthrie, with 112 elected delegates, all of whom were males. The progressive movement, which was spreading across the country at this time, greatly influenced the decisions of the delegates as they worked on the Oklahoma Constitution. Prohibition, a sensitive issue, was voted on separately by the people and approved. The people ratified the Constitution on September 17, 1907. Democrat Charles N. Haskell was elected the first governor. The state of Oklahoma came into the Union on November 16, 1907, by a statehood proclamation signed by President Theodore Roosevelt.